Ever notice how your senses let you know when you're approaching home?
I feel like I'm breathing deeper and my lungs feel fuller and my eyes feel like I feel more awake and I also feel more confident.
Kelsey Juliana is my passenger as we drive from Eugene to the Willamette National Forest in Oregon. I asked Kelsey to show me a place in her native state that's special to her. The forest road bends and she can feel when we're getting closer to Fall Creek.
And I remember the first observation I had of that sensation was maybe when I was a teenager and me and my dad went for a hike here. I think I even said out loud, I was like, whoa, Dad, this is where I was born. Like, I can tell, I can feel it, I can feel at home, I feel centered.
She spaces out her visits here like doses of medicine.
It's more of a special place where I come to breathe deep and to just think about my roots and where I come from.
As we get out of the car, the aroma of pine sap surrounds us.
Oh, I can't believe, I feel like I'm looking at a portrait.
To our far left, there's a dense forest. To our immediate right, there's an open field with woods in the background against a bright blue sky.
You can feel the sun on us, you can feel the heat of the sun.
Young evergreen trees stand out in bright green, while older trees, shrubs, and tall grasses are different shades of yellow and brown as they turn for the autumn. Branchless trees in other colors also dot the landscape.
We have these dead, tall, beautiful black, white, and gray trees.
Those trees, black, white, and gray, died in a fire. Kelsey knows more than the average person about how forests recover from burns. Her father's a wildfire ecologist who taught her to treasure the natural world.
My parents were rooted in protecting natural systems, and that's where I belong to.
Now she's walking her own path as a leader. Kelsey Juliana is one of 21 young people suing the United States government for promoting and enabling energy sources that it knows cause climate change. The federal government has created a fossil fuel energy system that, the plaintiffs say, infringes on their constitutional rights to life, liberty, and property. This is No Ordinary Lawsuit, a series that will cover the constitutional climate lawsuit Juliana v. United States, its key players and trial whenever it begins. I'm your host, Ambar Espinosa. If you've been following this case, you know that the U.S. government has tried to get this case dismissed. The Department of Justice filed new motions in three different federal courts, all the way up to the Supreme Court, before trial was set to begin on October 29th. That trial is on hold for now while the courts review the motions before them. Kelsey and her co-plaintiffs feel these unrelenting efforts to stop the case is time lost. They're fighting to protect their homes and their freedom from dangerous climate change.
This place is threatened. I can't imagine what that would look like if it actually went away. So I need to do what I can just to make sure that that doesn't become a reality.
At 22, Kelsey's the oldest plaintiff. Every one of them knows and fears the effects of climate change. 21-year-old Tia Hatton of Bend, Oregon, a competitive runner and skier, says her favorite season has changed.
I'd seen enough years of snow for me to realize that that was a really low level of snow for wintertime.
In rainy Seattle, Washington, 18-year-old Aji Piper has noticed changes too. He says recent winters have been shorter and warmer, summers are drier, and that has consequences.
Just within the last 2 years, we've had wildfire smoke bad enough to impact our air quality. Years before that, nothing.
Aji joined several of his co-plaintiffs in Eugene, Oregon, for what was supposed to be the start of the trial on October 29th. Several of them stayed in a big house, perched among beautiful big-leaf maple trees. That's where I caught up with 11-year-old Levi Draheim and his mother, Leanne, who traveled from Florida. Before we sat down for an interview, Leanne ran down a list of tea flavors for her son to choose.
Or their sweet tangerine.
Oh, no, I want sweet tangerine. I want sweet tangerine, whatever that one is.
Levi tells me he finds his joy at sea level.
I love to surf and swim and things like that. And so I spend a lot of my time in the ocean.
His home is in Satellite Beach, a barrier island with the Indian River Lagoon to the west and the Atlantic Ocean to the east. I was surprised to learn how much he's read at his young age about how climate change will affect where he lives.
If climate change continues at the same rate, then the polar ice caps will melt more and more, and then that will in turn raise the level of the sea, which will then make my barrier island go underwater.
Levi half Kelsey's age and the youngest plaintiff in this lawsuit, has already witnessed the stakes for the beaches and lagoon near his home, flesh-eating bacteria, non-native seaweed invasions, and a drop in the number of sea turtles. Those and other changes have been tough for Levi and his mother, Leanne.
He's seen us have to evacuate for hurricanes. He's seen flooding on our street up to his knees. Our little town is actually trying really hard, and they've put out sea level rise maps over the last several years. We have the Indian River Lagoon on one side and the ocean on the other side, and the water comes from both sides on those maps.
You can see where our home is, and it shows it being completely underwater, and it's just very scary to think about and look at.
In future episodes, you're going to hear more from the young plaintiffs who share a sense of urgency to do something about climate change. They consider it the greatest threat to their lives. The plaintiffs, young people inspiring one another, are a big part of what sets this lawsuit apart. It's also the first of its kind, a lawsuit about climate change grounded in the U.S. Constitution.
The rights we're talking about here are necessary for people to survive and for our country to flourish.
I mean, there's never been a case going to trial that's about, will my kids still have snow in the mountains and snowpack that sustains and feeds rivers? And will southern Florida still exist in 50, 100 years?
Attorneys Julia Olson and Phil Gregory represent the 21 plaintiffs.
These are profoundly existential questions, and I don't know of another case in human history that has been about something so significant as whether parts of our nation will continue to exist, whether our forests will continue burning every summer, whether people will continue dying and being displaced with mass migration and economic upheaval and chaos.
When you get through listening to this segment, walk outside, look around, and recognize that the climate that you've experienced since you've been born is fundamentally changing in a way that will harm you. It will harm your children. It will harm your grandchildren. And think about who's doing something about it.
Trial in this case will reveal evidence that for decades, the federal government willfully ignored this impending harm.
The Giuliani case does the homework to show this jaw-dropping transgression of duty on the part of federal officials.
Mary Christina Wood is a professor at the University of Oregon's Law School. Her specialty, the environment, natural resources, and a principle called the public trust doctrine. We'll look into that doctrine in future episodes. For now, it's enough to say that Wood pioneered one of the legal theories that the lead attorneys are using in Giuliana v. United States.
No other case really strikes at the heart of the matter and pulls so much government action into a story. The Giuliana case basically tells a story that will shock most people in this country and people around the world. And that story will be, I believe, that the government knew all along it was putting our lives in danger, and yet it chose to do so anyway. Permitting and drilling and mining and offshore drilling and exporting and subsidies.
Scientists, including many of the experts testifying on the plaintiff's behalf, have warned for decades about the dangers of rising carbon emissions. The Trump administration's own recent report indicates that we can expect 7 degrees Fahrenheit of warming before the end of this century.
Our window of time that we have left to act before we pass climate tipping points is mind-blowing. It's almost as if we've jumped out of a plane at 30,000 feet and we're searching for that pull cord.
The 21 young plaintiffs are searching for that pull cord too. They want the U.S. government to stop endangering the natural climate system for them and their descendants. To that end, they're asking the court to order the federal government to create and implement what the lawyers are calling a science-based national climate recovery plan. This plan would drastically reduce carbon emissions to stabilize the climate. If the Giuliana case succeeds, it would set off a major shift from the fossil fuels that power this country now to clean and renewable energy. Overhauling the country's energy system is no small task, but economists and technology experts say it's doable. Whenever the trial for Giuliana v. United States begins in the U.S. District Court in Eugene, Oregon, we'll offer updates of key developments with observers inside the courtroom. To tell the story of this landmark lawsuit as fully as possible, we've requested interviews with the lawyers who represent the defendants. So far, the Department of Justice has declined that request. But Jeffrey Wood, with the department's Environment and Natural Resources Division, offered this written statement read by a member of our production team.
This lawsuit is an unconstitutional attempt to use a single Oregon court to control the entire nation's energy and climate policy. Those policies should be decided by the elected branches, not the courts. Originally filed against the Obama administration, this improper lawsuit challenges government actions across 10 presidential administrations. The Justice Department is continuing our efforts to see this case dismissed, as is clearly warranted by the law.
We've also requested interviews with people who worked in the Obama administration. We'll keep you posted if they respond. Kelsey Giuliana thinks this lawsuit she's filed with 20 other young Americans might be just what it takes to hold the U.S. government accountable.
If they get called out by the people, then we can win.
You're listening to No Ordinary Lawsuit, a production of the nonprofit Our Children's Trust. Devin Gallagher, Caitlin Howard, Meg Ward, and I produce this podcast. Cheryl Duvall is our editor. Seth Augustus Quittner composes our music. If you enjoy the show, please consider reviewing us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can learn more about this podcast on our website, noordinarylawsuit.org. I'm your host, Ambar Espinosa, and thanks for listening.